Let's go up to our ring announcer.
The following podcast is scheduled for one episode and is our vantage point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast.
Outside, we couldn't see it from our vantage point.
Fans, and welcome back to our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. Glad to be with you for episode number 49 on this Monday, September 18th, 2017. I am, of course, Joe Murata, and wouldn't you know it, with me as always is Michael Quinn. How you doing, Quinn?
Howdy doody.
How's it going, man? How we doing?
I'm good.
Are you?
Yes, very good.
Are you sad that it is our last show of the summer?
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
It is. You know why? Because next week it's the fall.
I don't like that.
I'm
like the summer.
Sorry about that. I don't know what to tell you.
I feel like we've been doing this show like the whole show has been during the summer.
It's not true at all.
I know, but it just feels that way. It was a long summer.
I guess so. Well, anyway, folks, thank you so much for being back with us. This is a very special episode. As we mentioned last week, every segment will be a fan request.
Yes, it will be.
And I think that's great because our fans have been so loyal.
Yes, they have.
So great to us, and we want to thank you guys. I could have never thought.
Yeah, and I mean, almost a year.
Almost a year we've been doing this. It'll be a year in October.
I'm just surprised it's gone this long, and truly, like, thankful to the fans, like, who kept this going, because, I mean, do you think we would have kept going if nobody was listening?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm just thankful that we didn't have to cross that road.
You know,
we've got a bunch of great fans out there, and we want to thank you guys. So in this episode, you can blame each other for the topics if you don't like them.
Yeah.
Because you picked them. It's
yes,
not
definitely.
Our fault this time, okay? But before we get to any of that, Quinn, I suppose we should mention the usual things. First and foremost, if you haven't yet, why don't you go follow us on Twitter at OVP Podcast? It's really great there, Quinn.
That's really good. There's GIFs and text things and all sorts of stuff. It's the best, really.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's really, really good.
There's so many things you can do, like tell us stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Tweet stuff at us.
Whatever you can do with 140 characters, you figure it out.
That's right. Very arbitrary limit there.
Yeah, yeah.
140 characters. We are a couple of characters, by the way, and so are you fans out there. And you can join the characters on our Facebook group, Quinn.
Yes, they can. They can go over to facebook.feet, and on there, you can join the group.
Yes.
So you go in the search bar and you type our Vantage Point Retro Wrestling Podcast, and you don't click on the PR page.
No.
We say this every week. Don't click on it.
Don't
it's not
that.
A group.
It can't do anything with it.
Click on the group. You hit join.
Yep.
We accept you, and then you get to talk about old wrestling.
That's it.
Yeah.
And there you have it.
There's nothing else to say about that.
And not only that, if you use the long form email, we do have one of those email boxes there. It's ovppodcast@gmail.com. That is ovppodcast@gmail.com. And I think, Quinn, you were saying we need to have a return address, or they do.
Yeah, you have to have a return address, or I'll be typing like DVD links like I was to some clown. I don't know. I was giving him all these good DVDs, and I send, and, you know, Damon got mad at me, and I don't know. So you got to have a return address.
Damon. Yeah, I hope that clown is still a listener, though.
Yeah, me too.
You're not a clown.
You're
don't
not
worry.
A clown. Sorry, I got a little mad. It's just, you know, it's the technology. It's hard for me because retro, you know?
Yeah, very retro. So speaking of which, you don't have to fire up your 8-track to listen to us.
No, you don't.
You might be listening on SoundCloud, which is where we're hosted, at least in the meantime, Quinn.
Yeah, unless, like, when this episode's up, it was, like, out of business and we've already moved and we're listening to an archived episode.
But you don't have to listen to us on SoundCloud, because even if they go out of business, we're going to be a bunch of other places. Where are they, Quinn?
Well, we're on Apple Podcast, where you can subscribe or leave a review. So leave a 5-star review, because it's good for us and it's good for you, because you get to see your name on there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't like the show, leave a 5-star review and just say it sucked.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Where
it's a fair compromise.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Where else are we?
Well, we're over at the Google Play Music, Stitcher,
yes,
Blueberry.
Yes, we are.
FM Player.
Oh, yeah, they're really...
Who cares?
Oh, excuse me.
You know, we're over at Otto, too. Otis, whatever it is.
Who uses that? No one uses that.
I just say it because it's the funniest one.
It is the funniest one. And would you say, Quinn, various other places?
Yes, I would.
Now, did you know one of those places, Quinn, is placetobenation.com?
Oh, is it now?
And did you know it's the only place to be in your pop culture world? Yours.
That could possibly be true.
It could be. And folks, why don't you head on over to placetobenation.com? There's some great podcasts there. Quinn and I both really like the Place to Be podcast.
Yes.
JT Rosero and Scott Criscolo.
Yeah, they talk about the old wrestling like we do, yep. But they cover 1 year or
They
more.
Just go in order,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, they're just going in order.
And we don't. We have no order.
Not
There's
at all.
Zero order on
no
this show.
No order on this show.
You know, another one that Quinn and I really like on Place to Be Nation is on their pro wrestling only feed. It is Petey Winston, Quinn.
Oh, yeah, Little Petey.
Little Petey.
I love his show.
Yeah, it's a really good show. It's a one man, a very lonely, just kind of, you know, sad little.
It's not as, you know, friendly show. Like this one.
No, not as dynamic, obviously, when you have a partner like Michael Quinn, everybody.
Oh, why, thank you.
You're very welcome. But check out Greetings from Allentown, hosted by Petey Winston. Yep. Great little show. So, Quinn, we have a Why Did They Bother suggestion.
Yes, we do.
And this one is from, I would say, the proprietor of our Facebook group's Question of the Day.
Yes, it is.
You know who this guy is. This is Gary Fay. And he likes to ask these very difficult trivia questions very frequently on our Facebook.
Says something about SummerSlam and Intercontinental Belts, I believe.
Very obscure. And he's actually a great contributor to the boards. And so, Gary, this is a shout out to you. For some godforsaken reason, he wants to know why they bothered with Jameson.
Yeah, that's me.
Ooh, I'm a big fan of this topic because he sucks.
Tell me why, Quinn.
Well, I don't really understand the end game of this, first of all.
Okay.
He comes in and he's like Bobby's sidekick or something on the Bobby the Brain Heenan show.
That's a very good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes.
The Bobby Heenan show, first of all, was weird and bizarre in itself.
Yes, it was.
Because that was this strange era in for like four episodes in 89 of primetime. They chopped off the last half hour of it.
Yeah, they did.
And they gave it to Bobby Heenan, which you'd think, I guess, in theory that it would work.
Yes.
Did it work?
No, it didn't at all. It was like it was just weird. It had the Rosati twins or whatever and Jameson, and they would interview weird people and stuff.
I'm going to give the guy a job. I may need something. I may need something picked up off the floor. I may need to go get coffee. I may just need something. Well, I'm going to bring him out now, and I'd like a warm welcome at home. You people sitting on the rented furniture. My sidekick, my man's man, my gopher, Jeremy, Jameson, doesn't, whatever.
But his sidekick was Jameson. Now, can you describe Jameson physically, if our fans don't know?
Well, he's like a man-child, kind of. He dressed up kind of like a dork, like in the vein of like Pee-wee Herman, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, actually.
He's always sniffling and like wiping his nose with his tie.
Greasy hair.
And he talks like a child.
One of these weeks, you're going to shake my hand, I know it.
Yes, my hand will fall off.
The nerd glasses.
Yeah.
The black frame glasses.
Yes.
Suit that doesn't fit him, like crappy shoes.
Yeah, like the pants are like too short and he's wearing like white socks because what nerd doesn't wear white socks with a suit?
The only thing I didn't get, was he a nerd or was he dumb? Was he like homeless or was he nice?
I can't figure it out.
I don't know what it was.
Was he like special or something? Like, I'm serious. Like,
I don't know.
Was there like a problem with him mentally? I can never figure that out.
I don't think so. I think he was just a dumb nerd.
Yes.
Is that possible?
How could you be a dumb... That's
an oxymoron.
Yeah.
It absolutely is.
It's stupid.
So, Bobby Heenan obviously made him the butt of many a joke on the Bobby Heenan show.
The Bobby the Brain Heenan making fun of him aspect was like the best part of it, even though none of it made any sense at all. Like, why is he here? Why is he like helping manage people or something?
Why does Bobby have his own show?
Yes.
There's a lot of things that didn't make sense.
You haven't been swimming in Alaska, have you?
No.
I was wondering about the oil in your hair.
The best part, and if you could call it a best with Jameson's career, was when, for some weird reason, he was the Bushwhackers, like, valet?
Yes.
Would you say manager? I wouldn't say manager.
I wouldn't really say manager. He was more like a ladylike manager, I guess.
Well, because the best part is at Royal Rumble 92, where the genius is with the Beverly Brothers, and Jameson is with the Bushwhackers, and they have this hideous 16-minute match.
Yes. It's very long.
Yes. And there are two great things about it. Bobby Heenan and Gorilla's commentary all the way through.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Because Bobby is just on fire
with
the lines about Jameson.
I mean, it's so easy, though. He's just acting like a fool out there the whole match.
I know.
It's like Jameson hasn't washed his hair in about 6 years. Who dresses him? The state?
Oh! I think they have legitimately adopted Jameson.
Well, what happened? Their dog died?
Huh.
You know, Jameson used to come home from school every day and find out that his parents had moved.
Will you stop?
They used to wrap his lunch in a rope mat.
Is he the one that said his parents ran away from home?
Yes,
or
his parents ran away from home and all that.
They ran away from home.
kept remarking how disgusting he was.
The duct tape on the shoe and stuff like that.
You got that human trash can at ringside. Jameson wears all designer clothes. Did you know that?
Designer clothes?
Yes. Marquis de Slump of Newark. Yeah, he is smart. You got to give him credit for that. He put the white tape right around his shoe. That's a move I would have done, Monsoon.
But the best part of the match is when the genius, like, unprovoked and for no reason, just, like, saunters over to Jameson and slaps him.
Yes, because even the genius, who would, like, never get physical, always he's the one getting beat up. Even he's like, enough of this. This is so stupid.
And then Jameson has one of the best, like, reactions. He's like, he headed me. He headed me hard. And then he's asking people, he's like, is it blatant?
Is it blatant? And that's where it comes from, how we always say, is it blatant?
Yeah, is
like,
it blatant?
Even though Piper said that,
you're blatant.
Like, before,
yeah,
like,
it's really from Jameson.
We do it in the Jameson, like, voice,
is
I guess.
Is it blatant?
Slapped him right across the face! What a despicable act!
Wash your hand, genius!
He hit it, me!
Okay, Jameson.
Just giving him an education!
He hit me hard!
Okay. Didn't hit you hard enough, you're still breathing.
Is it bleeding?
No, it's not bleeding, Jameson.
Is it blatant?
We still say that in our everyday lives sometimes.
Yes.
Is it blatant?
It's probably like the apex of Jameson.
Well, I'll tell you what. Maybe that's why they bothered to provide a little humor, Quinn.
I guess, but here's a question for you because I don't even remember. Mm. Was he even like around in 90 at all?
I don't know because was he
what like, happened to him?
Was he another attempt at a mascot before the gobbledygooker? Maybe
that's what I think.
Like
so
fan friendly.
That's actually like my
hi everybody. Yeah. I'm gonna sign your autograph.
So it's funny you say that because my only like theory to like rationalize why Jameson exists because he really is just stupid and like he has no business being in wrestling.
No,
period. And my only rationale is that they thought like, oh, if he's like a big kid, kids will relate to him. And, like, maybe, are they trying to say wrestling fans are nerds, too?
I think little kids would have beat him up, honestly. Like, no kid wanted to relate to that.
Well, he would have been the kid that got beaten up, and he would have also been the kid that no kid wants to be friends with, because they're like, I ain't being caught dead with Jameson on the playground. Like,
it's sad, though, but it's true.
Maybe it made, like, even, like, smaller kids who did get beat up, they're like, hey, I'm better than him. Like, you know, that kind of thing?
Maybe, but I don't think that was the intention. I think it was a case of Vince being like, you know what, let's just try something different.
It's different, all
it's
right.
It's definitely different. I don't know, it's memorable, though. It's memorable enough to talk about and reminisce about.
Is it memorable to the, like, most fans, though? Because I don't hear, like, Jameson, like, talked about, like, a lot. Like, if you go to, like, Squared Circle or some wrestling message board, like, they don't talk about Jameson. I've never heard anybody talk about Jameson.
Well, folks, let me take this opportunity to remind you to send us your Jameson memoirs. Let us know what you think of Jameson, because really, there wasn't much to his career other than the Bobby Heenan show and I think primetime appearances and stuff.
Yes.
The Royal Rumble era 92 appearance. He also appeared like occasionally on primetime. I remember that. I think he's on the last primetime in 93.
Oh my God, he goes that far?
Or maybe late 92.
Was he lingering?
Yeah. Jameson, congratulations on your big night. You deserve it. And thank you for adding so much to the primetime and Bobby Heenan show telecasts. Sincerely, Vince McMahon.
I don't remember.
Was he employed by them? I don't even know.
I can't imagine that they actually like had him on salary,
he had a
right?
Contract.
To wear a fucking like dirty suit and say like four things like, oh man, you know, oh yeah, this is for you, Bobby. I don't like you.
This is bad.
Like could have played Jameson. I could have played Jameson.
I could have. You just greased up my hair. That should be like the logo to this episode. It's like we just dress me up like Jameson or something.
That is a very weird now, Halloween costume idea.
On an odd side note to kind of like wrap up Jameson here.
Yes.
Now, wasn't he on like Everyone Loves Raymond or something to that effect?
First of all, it's everybody loves Raymond.
Whatever.
Okay, not everyone.
Sorry.
Everybody who
well,
cares
that's what
about
I called
their body.
It.
He was not. That was something I actually told you misinformedly.
Oh, really?
A few years ago. There was this rumor because no one knew who the hell this Jameson guy was, right?
What if his name is just Jameson
it's
in real
not.
Life?
It's actually John DiGiacomo. He's a.
What
very,
a name.
Yeah, well, he's Italian. Very small-time comedian, John DiGiacomo. But anyway, apparently he's so small-time that no one knew who the hell this guy was, right?
He just made me wonder, is somebody like this guy? I mean, is he like in nightclubs doing the Jameson character and like people throw like tomatoes at him or something?
I would. I mean, why not? Why not do that character? You can milk that thing.
You just
That's
get like
an Andy Kaufman style.
You just get
thing.
A long cane with a hook and like take him off the stage. Yeah.
Dear
Jameson, go fuck.
But not only was not only did no one know who he was, apparently when this other like obscure comedian showed up as like one of Raymond's like couch friends that never mattered,
yeah, watch you know sports what I mean, right? With him or something,
exactly. The nerdy one,
yeah,
a guy named Andy Kindler. Apparently, a rumor got started that I bit onto that was Jameson, and yes. I really believed it until recently.
You really champed onto that bit.
I did champ onto that bit, but no, Jameson was not. You know, he had never achieved the level. Of an Everybody Loves Raymond recurring character.
That would be a huge jump for, like, the guy who played Jameson to be on Everybody Loves Raymond.
This is how exciting Jameson was,
yes,
folks.
He's, so he's Gary, a topic of Everyone yeah. Loves Raymond.
Thanks, Gary, really, for yeah. the suggestion. But, yeah, I mean, overall, I see why they bothered. I get it. Something
I still
different.
Don't after this really? Conversation. Like, to be honest with you, this is, like, the first one where I'm like, I'm not sure, actually.
A little comic relief. Someone, probably someone for Bobby Heenan to make fun of and improvise on.
Well, I guess, you know, he left at just the right time because Helen Hart was making her way in. And that
oh,
was, yeah.
yeah. You know what? Bobby needed that fodder. You
yeah,
can't
he
get,
can't
let
do
Jameson,
two at once.
No,
so.
That can't get in the way there. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't have a major problem with it. I guess I was a little bit quizzical when I first saw it as a kid.
Yeah, it just doesn't fit in, I guess.
No, I mean, they didn't explain. Here's the thing. If you didn't watch the day-to-day programming, let's say you came in a little bit later like we did,
yeah,
like I saw Coliseum Video Rumble 92. That was my first exposure to Jameson, which I still need to get vaccinated for. And
isn't that what Bobby said to do?
Did he actually?
Yeah,
again,
I'm pretty
get
sure
shots.
Yeah. It's just funny
that.
That's like in your brain.
And I was like, what is this guy? I was like 9-10 years old. I was
like scouring
no,
tapes
right.
to find him,
and they don't explain who he is.
Yeah, he's just there.
And I think that's the best legacy of Jameson. He's just kind of there.
He's just kind of there. That's the legacy of Jameson.
He said, is it Biden?
Is it Biden?
He got slapped by the genius.
Yep.
And Bobby made a ton of jokes about him, which obviously you've heard throughout this episode as we've been talking. So why do they bother? I guess so we can just laugh.
Yeah.
They didn't take it seriously.
I mean, it's been a fun 15 minutes dwelling on Jameson.
I would
honest.
Say it has. Yeah, right.
The jokes write themselves with Jameson, right?
You know, they certainly do, Quinn. And speaking of which, folks, we want to continue to have you right into this show. So why don't you reach us on Twitter at OVP Podcast, like we mentioned. You can email us or simply go to our Facebook group. Let us know what you thought of Jameson, if they should have bothered or not. Personally, I don't have a big problem with it. I'm not going to lie, Quinn.
They probably should.
Have I converted you, though?
A little.
Oh, a little bit. It's good enough.
Good and, for you.
Well, folks, good for you, because we will be back right after this.
We're on the air. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, I got some bad news for everybody.
What?
I got some bad news for the people out there, too. You know, concerning Jameson, you know how I get on his case a lot and everything?
Yeah.
He's alive.
Oh,
Jesus. He's alive. He should be alive.
He's alive.
Oh.
Show
he's alive. Well, of course he is.
Maneuver CPR.
You're really out of good grip on him, Jim. Congratulations.
Thanks. Well, someone everyone had to do
should,
something.
That's right. Everyone should learn CPR and mouth to mouth and all that. I mean,
should have pulled his pants up around his neck and tightened the notch on his belt about the 13th hole.
From Harley Race to Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair to The Rock, Sting to Steve Austin, you're listening to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast.
And welcome back, wrestling fans, to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. Glad to be with you for episode number 49 here on Monday, September 18th, 2017. As we mentioned, one more episode till the finale, Quinn.
Yes.
And this episode is made possible by you because every topic is picked from our suggestion box, Quinn.
By listeners like you.
By listen.
Like PBS.
Yes, exactly. We walk over to the box, we pull it out.
Yeah.
And whatever it says on the paper is what we do, right?
You know, we print out those Excel sheets.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Every
what do you
week.
Think? This is fruitless?
Yeah. Every week, there's like a fax machine with the suggestions
we
coming
through. We have interns, too.
Yeah.
You know, they do it for us.
You don't see them.
We don't have time for that.
And one's Lord Alfred.
I like the joke that he's still alive, by the way.
What do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Well, this is a suggestion for Mount Rushmore and Death Valley, where each week we have put and will continue to put four of the best of something onto Mount Rushmore, and four of the worst go down into the desert of Death Valley in this case.
Yes.
Because this is a suggestion from AJ Smith, and he wanted us to do the Mount Rushmore and Death Valley of Undertaker WrestleMania matches.
Very interesting and probably a very fun topic.
This one leapt right out of the box for you, Quinn. You were all into this
one. I saw this because I guess it was my turn to pick or whatever.
Yeah.
So I picked this from the suggestion box and I laughed because while there is very good Undertaker matches, there's a lot of stinkers, too.
There are a lot of stinkers. So, AJ Smith, thank you for the suggestion. I guess, Quinn, since technically you had the pick.
You have the
stick. I have the stick.
Yeah,
I introduced the pick.
Yeah.
Because it's...
But whatever. It's a fun episode.
We both knew already, anyway, because we had to pull the suggestion out of the box.
Spoilers.
So, I'm going to start with one of the best, and I think I'd be kind of an a-hole to not pick this one, but his first match with Shawn Michaels at Wrestle 25.
Yes. That is probably The Undertaker's best match, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the best performances of The Undertaker's career, period. Like, it probably is his best match ever.
I think you're right.
Yeah,
like, I really do.
And I mean, the only other stuff that sticks out in The Undertaker's career for me as far as like matches, and I know you're just going to like poo on this, but the Hell in the Cell.
Both of them, though. The first two is his Shawn Michaels Hell in the Cell match also.
Right, but I'm saying those Hell in the Cell matches, those stick out too. But I mean, those weren't at WrestleMania, but the point remains is like, I think this even tops those.
I think so. I think Undertaker and Shawn had some kind of freakishly good chemistry.
Yes.
They always had good matches.
They always, always did.
They were like made for each other.
It was so nice they did it twice.
They did. They did it again at Wrestle 26.
Yeah.
Which wound up being Shawn Michaels' retirement match.
Right.
But the WrestleMania 25 match was better.
Yes. No doubt about it. The first one was the best one. You know, I have a soft spot for the second one because it is Shawn's last match, but it's not as good as Wrestle 25.
And
the reason we say that, by the way, this is a good time to bring this up.
Yes.
The reason we say Wrestle 25 is because infamously, The Undertaker was cutting a promo for this match on Raw to hype it up or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, at Wrestle 25, I'm going to beat you, Shawn Michaels.
Yep.
Like,
at WrestleMania 25.
You know, speaking of The Undertaker's streak real quick, and speaking of his WrestleMania matches, for those that might not be as informed, The Undertaker had an undefeated streak at WrestleMania.
Oh, did he?
Hey, there's some people might not know this.
Well, I'm only saying this because, I mean, this is going into now. I mean, this was like the featured thing for WrestleMania.
From 1991 until 2014, The Undertaker was undefeated at WrestleMania.
Yes, he was.
And Brock Lesnar broke that streak, and perhaps we'll mention that, perhaps we won't. But yeah, as far as quality of match, that's his best one of the WrestleMania, and like you said, maybe ever.
Yeah,
like,
probably.
Literally ever.
There's wrestlers who I've heard say, like, The Undertaker should have never wrestled again after that match. Like, it was that good.
It would have been fine if he didn't, honestly, in my opinion, you know that. But not only was that a great wrestling match, but the story surrounding it, although it was a short build, remember, it started at the Royal Rumble. They were both in it.
Right, and didn't they eliminate each other or something?
Something like that, and they kind of got into it. And they hyped this match really well.
Yes, they did.
Shawn Michaels was not quite a heel for it, but he was kind of being a little dicky.
Yes.
Like, slightly dicky,
but not,
if I recall.
I mean, he still was Shawn Michaels,
Shawn.
Like...
Yahoo version,
Born-again Christian angle,
yes,
too.
He was.
Because they played that, too, because it was like... The Undertaker was dark, and he was light,
And I remember when we watched Wrestle 25 together, you and I did.
Yes.
With a friend of ours, Carter. I remember we were all really excited for that match.
Yeah, didn't we watch that on a projector, too, if I recall?
We might have.
That was a special WrestleMania. I never had done something like that
before.
It was pretty cool.
But I think overall, match quality, build, the two wrestlers involved, everything about it, I think it has to be number one. Are you with me?
I'm with you.
Let's do it. Number one, Undertaker Shawn Michaels from 2009, WrestleMania 25. What are you thinking, Michael?
I am a big fan of the first time The Undertaker and Kane fought at WrestleMania. I think that was the second biggest Undertaker match at WrestleMania behind Shawn Michaels.
WrestleMania 14.
Yes.
Undertaker-Kane.
And I'm not saying the match is good, but it's like a seminal moment in the Undertaker's career. It's like, it's kind of like the beginning of like the modern Undertaker.
In a way, it is. What had happened there, it had a really good build as well.
Yeah.
Kane had debuted, as we all know, in October at the first Hell in the Cell match. That's got to be Kane. You know?
Yeah. Rips the door off and all that.
And he was kind of portrayed as the younger, more evil, more powerful, more invincible version of the Undertaker.
Yes.
It's like no one could hurt the guy.
Right.
Mankind lost to him.
He was basically like Undertaker baby. Like, because he was his baby brother, so...
Yeah, Kane Undertaker.
And he had fire powers.
Yes,
and,
he was like Mario.
Right. He had, like, the alternate powers. Like, the Undertaker had, like, I guess, electricity, he could turn lights on and stuff. I guess he was, like, electric Pokemon. Like, if you were to, like, think... And, like, Kane's, like, the Charizard. He's, like, fire Pokemon.
You finally worked a reference like that this show, huh?
It even makes sense because he can turn the lights on and electricity... is what powers the lights.
Sure, he's like Nuclear Man from Superman 4.
Where is the woman?
Give it up, you'll never find her.
If you will not tell me, I will hurt people.
Not so much.
Okay, but yeah, you know what? That was another match where as a kid, when I watched WrestleMania 14, I was very excited for that.
Yes.
It's not a good match, though.
It's not good, but I think as far as Undertaker matches go, I mean... You know, we're working with Undertaker matches here, so, like, please give us some leeway here.
Very good point.
But, honestly, it's a really good showing for both. It puts both... To me, I feel like both of them were over after it. I mean, they both went on to, like, that whole world title exchange with Austin.
Later in 98, yep.
Clearly, they were over.
And it was, you know, a great coming out party for Glenn Jacobs as a main eventer. Not that was the main event, but it helped him get to that.
Yeah, it was a great coming out party for Glenn Jacobs.
Wouldn't you think?
I mean, yeah, and they had tried to put him over for a while.
I thought it was fun. I don't know if I'd put that onto Mount Rushmore, though.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I mean, what about the CM Punk match?
It was okay. It always left a bad taste in my mouth.
Because Punk lost.
Right. And it was like, to me, that was one of the moments where it seemed like this is a guy that should be put over by The Undertaker. Like, this should be the end of the streak.
Yeah, you know what? It probably should have been.
Because CM Punk was so hot at that point.
He was. That was like his big period, that the kind of towards the end of his big run.
But we didn't know that at the time. He was still awesome.
Now, you wouldn't put any of the Triple H matches on there, would you? He had like three.
The one where like they all leave together or whatever, the big emotional moment. I guess that one's pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I really like the WrestleMania 17 match a real lot.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know what? Now that you remind me, that one's the best of the three. Although leave the memories alone, but it wasn't there. But you know what I mean? Like the other one's emotional. And it's a Hell in a Cell too, by the way.
It is.
But. Definitely, that 17 one is better. Actually, that might be one of the better Undertaker matches I've ever seen.
It's the culmination. As we all know, WrestleMania 17 was the culmination of the Attitude Era anyway.
Yeah.
That was the culmination of the Undertaker's biker-taker character really being good for one of the last times. Because everything after that was like he kicked DDP's ass.
Yeah.
Then he turned heel. He cut his hair. He became Big Evil.
And Booger Red.
And Booger Red and all that. And then that was right before Triple H, you know, went down to his first of a couple quad injuries.
Yes.
And
it was the last time Triple H was like healthy.
Yeah. I mean, really, the classic game Triple H, the one from like 99-2000.
And he just had the moments. The going into the crowd and fighting, and like the Undertaker was so much more vicious than he usually was. And like they always would hype how vicious he was, but honestly, he would just be like, and just beat up somebody or whatever.
Right.
Like I'd never seen him powerbomb someone off a scaffold or
whatever
something.
That was, that weird ass bump that he took, right?
Yeah, that was awesome.
I love that match. And again, that's another one where I was so hyped for it as a kid.
Yeah.
And I didn't know who was going to win.
Honestly, I don't remember being hyped for it. And I think that's why it came off as a bigger deal to me. It was like a pleasant surprise, like how good it was.
Yeah, it was. It was very good. Is this number two?
It might be. And this is a rare case because The Undertaker would fight the same people multiple times.
Yes, he did, of course.
Yeah.
Honestly, a lot of people would probably say that one of the other Triple H matches was better.
Yeah.
But I think this one, just as a standalone wrestling match, is great. It's just fun.
I mean, I think it's quite possible that the other Triple H match could make it into Rushmore also.
Maybe. But the other two Triple H matches, especially the one you're talking about, they feel like more like that modern Paul Levesque style of forcing a classic on you. Yeah. It's way too long.
The second time, though, if I recall, a lot of people were convinced like everyone in that match was retiring.
And no one did.
Yeah, but at the same time, Triple H, I believe, became more of a part-timer after that.
Yeah, I guess so.
So it kind of was the end of an era, if you will.
Good for him. The 17 one is more fun.
No, the 17 one's better. I'm saying put that in, but I'm just saying let's table the Triple H, like, match three or whatever.
It's on the table, but for now...
Keep it on the table.
Keep it on the table. For now, Undertaker Triple H from WrestleMania 17, Quinn?
Yes.
You're going in on it?
Yep.
All right, let's do it. Here it is.
While we're on the Triple H topic, the first of the, you know, the one after Shawn, not the years before or whatever, that first one of the two, when The Undertaker was a better wrestler, that one felt to me like Triple H said, oh, Shawn had good matches. Let me, like, show him or something.
That's the thing that always bothered me, too. So Undertaker and Shawn go back-to-back 2 years in a row.
And they're awesome.
And then Triple H is like, no, I have to do it, too.
Right. That hurts the first one, but they kind of made up for it in the second one.
They did. Yeah. Now, you know what, Quinn? Here is one that I don't know if this really... This flies under the radar a lot when it comes to The Undertaker. This match is damn good, and I remember thinking it at the time, and in retrospect... Undertaker Batista from WrestleMania 23.
Oh, is that
is
the
excellent?
Is that the one where the Undertaker like wins the world title
world,
at the end?
Yeah, the big gold belt.
Right.
Oh my! Look at this! Tombstone Piledriver! Wow!
That was great.
That was a pretty good match, and I remember it felt like a big moment because I didn't really, even though it's The Undertaker in the streak and everything, for some reason I was like, he's not going to win the title at, like, now, right? Like
from Batista.
Yeah, so you kind of had that like as a wall, a barrier for The Undertaker continuing his streak, right? The title's on the line. That's always a good setup.
So I really like that one, excuse me, more than probably the Triple H ones, just because I don't like... Big main event Triple H. I don't think they're that good. I think he tries too hard to manufacture these like epic classics.
Well, what
like
about
he's Dory Funk Jr. or something?
Here's one that I think is good because it does its job.
Okay, fair enough.
The Undertaker versus Jake the Snake.
Yeah, all right. So we're not being Dave Meltzer, right?
Right.
Doesn't matter what it is. It's a match, right? No match.
No, it doesn't matter. The point is this. Is somebody needed to, like, pass the torch to The Undertaker as, like, the creepy guy, I guess? And I know that sounds stupid.
Yes, it does.
But at the same time, it's like Jake was that, like, cryptic... He wasn't a phenom, I guess, but he was, like, similar, I guess.
Oh, no, Quinn. I think you're stretching here.
You don't think so? I thought Jake is, like, the closest thing they had to Undertaker before Undertaker.
He's the closest thing they had, but they weren't the same.
You don't think it was, like, an apropos passing of the torch?
It was apropos, but I don't know if I could put it on Rushmore as an Undertaker greatest match. Batista, overall, that thing was better.
No, it was a better match, but I'm saying, like, for the importance of it.
It was a better match?
Yeah.
I don't know. Don't forget the Kane thing you mentioned.
Yeah, the Kane thing.
From 14.
Oh, we didn't put that on.
No, we didn't, because, again, I don't know.
I don't know. The Jake one holds importance to me, because obviously the Jimmy Snuka one is... Jimmy Snuka sucks.
Now, that was a passing of the Phenom, though, if you want to be fair.
Yeah, but then it's passing of the creepy, I guess.
And now that overrides,
like,
the Phenom?
No, now he's got, like, both powers.
Oh, so Phenom and creepy.
Yeah, so now
so he's a creepy Phenom.
Now he's, like, the full Undertaker.
I don't know, Quinn. I would have to say... If we're talking about Undertaker's greatest matches, in terms of overall quality, I think I have to give the nod to the Batista thing from WrestleMania 23. It's really good, and it had no right being as good as it was.
I'll give it to you there. I mean, it was pretty good. Before we just put that on, what do you think about the streak-breaking Brock Lesnar victory?
I don't know. It's a piece of crap match.
Yeah, but it's stunning. It is. The desired reaction was there.
A third and fourth to The Undertaker! Brock Lesnar into the cover! Hooks the leg! The streak is over!
like a very memorable moment. It's one of the things that makes WrestleMania 30 one of like the best WrestleManias I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you, but it kind of has that feel of like an M. Night Shyamalan movie where you watch it for the first time and you get that twist ending, but you can never look at it the same again.
True. Well, you
like
you
that?
Can.
That was good.
You're right in that sense. However, I do get goosebumps just seeing the reaction afterwards every time. So that part holds true.
Maybe it's just drafty in the house.
No. Come on, Joe. Seriously, like, are you really going to, like...
I'm not going to say it's like, not a stunning moment. I agree with you. It is.
I think it's, like, a contender. Let's put it that way.
It's a contender. I mean, if you're talking Undertaker Kane...
Right.
Which I don't really... I don't think I can acquiesce to that one. I would say Brock Undertaker is more important than that.
I'll say this. Okay. I think Batista should probably go up there for match quality.
I think so.
But then, what are we at? Three now?
That'll be the third.
So we have... The rest to decide are basically like moments. So let's put the Batista on, right?
I think we should.
Yeah, let's put it on. Just get it on.
All right. So for number three, Batista Undertaker WrestleMania 23 in 2007. Well, now it's time to duke it out, Quinn, because you are proposing Undertaker Jake as one of them.
Yep.
Are we thinking Undertaker Kane still?
Yes.
From
because now we're at moments here and right. And Brock Lesnar, I think those are the only ones because the rest of this stuff is kind of
you're not feeling the CM Punk match, huh?
Nah,
really?
Yeah, because it gets overshadowed by like it's just burying Punk, like quite literally too.
Yeah, what about the Diesel match, WrestleMania 12?
I do like that match. That match was unexpectedly good, but it doesn't.
Doesn't
overall, yeah, it doesn't
you, right?
do anything for me. And it's at, like, isn't it at WrestleMania 12?
It is.
It's at, like, no one cared. Like, honestly, no
You're
one cared.
Right. Wound up not meaning anything.
Yeah, it was just something for Diesel to do before he quit.
Something for Undertaker to do before Mankind.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? All right, so we can throw that off the table. Undertaker Jake, I don't know. I mean, well, then again, he did kill him, and no one ever beat him that badly.
And no one gives, like, Jake the credit. He was a big star, and he's just letting this like new guy just literally
beat the shit out of him.
Like he doesn't get anyone up on him ever.
Undertaker pretty much just murders him
in
8 minutes.
Yeah, Jake tries to like trick him on the outside or something, and he just DDTs him, and he no sells it like on the pavement or whatever.
No, he DDTs him on the inside, but Undertaker tombstones him on the outside.
Oh, that's it.
That's
correct.
What it is.
But still, he DDT'd him. The DDT was unbeatable.
Right.
No one has ever gotten up from two DDTs. I've never seen anybody get up from one.
So for a passing of the torch from the old guard to the new?
Yeah.
To the old creepy to the new?
Yeah.
It's good. All right. Well, we got to match it up then. We have
the Brock is another passing of the torch a little bit, too. So there that goes
I
into
know,
that.
No, that's the thing. And that did more, obviously, for Brock than it did for Undertaker.
I will say that because Brock's comeback stunk before that.
It did.
And this like sent it into like the stratosphere. Like he's still over, even though it's like the tail end of it right
it
now.
It is right
like,
now.
It's like he's still a threat.
He is.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
And it's all based off of that.
Oh, man. All right, well, both of those...
And then somewhere in the middle is Kane.
I would say both of those trump Undertaker Kane in terms of importance.
You think? Okay, even Jake.
Yeah.
Because Kane is a big character-building thing.
It is, but I think if Undertaker would have lost that match, it would have still... They both would have still turned out the same as they did.
Correct, it would.
If Jake would have won, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's would have killed the Undertaker. I mean, that's 2-0, right, on the streak.
Yeah,
so
well,
like,
would have killed the streak,
killed
right?
The streak, yeah.
But also, Undertaker had only lost to one person officially, you know, like on TV at that point, which was Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
And the Warrior, that might have been televised, and that was it. So
yeah.
You throw Jake into that, and he's on his way out. That
right.
would have really diluted him,
yeah.
I think, anyway.
Mm-hmm. But so, the Brock. So
the Brock.
I think it's between the Brock and the Jake right now.
The Undertaker-Brock match is not very good. The Undertaker-Jake match is not very good.
Right. So throw the match quality
right.
out.
Match?
That, yeah,
no match.
Match
quality?
No, they throw the match
what
quality
What about the
out.
Star ratings?
It doesn't matter in this case because they're Undertaker matches.
But star ratings, Quinn. Work rate.
Shh.
Acai moonsaults.
Listen, Batista got on there because of that. So
that's my title match.
Yeah, Mr. Title Match himself. I think he started like asking for title matches
after that.
Yeah.
He says, congratulations, where's my rematch?
Yeah, exactly.
Congratulations. I want my rematch.
then I hated him forever after that.
His last time Batista was good. Other than when he came with the like pants that were falling off. You remember that?
That was funny. And Blutista was funny.
Yeah, Blutista.
But anyway, as we pick a winner here, we're disqualifying the two other Triple H matches.
Mm-hmm.
We are disqualifying. You really aren't feeling CM Punk, huh?
No.
Damn, I'm surprised because you're a big Punk apologist.
I am, but no.
Really?
No, because the ending sucks because CM Punk loses. He should win. He's like the guy to pass the torch to. He might have stayed if he had won that match. He really might have because remember he complained
about... He was all bitchy about everything.
But that's when it like... That sent him over the edge.
I guess so.
That's a shame.
Yeah, but he's the kind of guy that'll be bitchy if his peanut butter and jelly sandwich is upside down.
He's like Sean in that case. But Sean never just got up and left because he lost a match.
No, he faked knee injuries.
But he didn't leave, is my point.
All right. Speaking of Sean, what about his Wrestle 26 match? Sean's retirement match.
It's good, but it's just... I don't think it's as... it is important.
But Sean could have retired against anybody.
He could have.
He could have, but however, the streak versus the career, to me, though, come on. We knew Sean was done.
Yeah. I mean, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame the night before. That's the sign right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really, like, as old as the Undertaker's ass was by then, he was the same age as Sean.
Right.
Undertaker wrestled thrice a year, maybe, at most.
Yeah.
Sean was still doing a pretty full schedule.
You
knew Sean was the one leaving.
Yes.
You know, there was no suspense there.
There was no suspense.
So... How about this? How about to clear our consciences?
Yeah.
Because this is our show for the fans. Why don't we limit it to one wrestler versus
Fine.
The Undertaker
fair,
on
fair.
This, okay? So that's why Triple H is disqualified.
It's getting complicated.
That's why Michaels is disqualified.
Yeah.
So it's between Undertaker Jake
and
Undertaker Brock. Is that really what we've come down to?
Yeah, it's like the beginning and the end, basically.
All right, Undertaker Brock, Quinn.
Yeah, Undertaker Brock.
I think we have to.
It's just because the moment's more shocking. I think at the time, nobody understood the impact.
The impact.
They do now. Mm-hmm. But Brock, everyone got it. The wind was literally blown out of the arena.
Right.
You know?
Whereas Undertaker could have beaten Jake at a house show at MSG on TV.
Yeah.
And fine. You know what I
mean?
But like this Undertaker Brock thing was like a once ever... type of thing that was ever going to happen like that.
It was stunning.
It's stunning. All right, you know what? Breaking the streak, Undertaker Brock Lesnar WrestleMania 30 for number 4.
Let's do it.
Well, that is our Mount Rushmore of Undertaker WrestleMania matches. To recap, of course, for Donnie, also a fan of the show, never makes it to the suggestion box.
Nope, not
for some reason.
Yeah.
Mr. Spreadsheet himself never makes it to the suggestion box. But we have The Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels from WrestleMania 25. We have The Undertaker versus Triple H from WrestleMania 17.
Yep.
We have The Undertaker versus Batista from WrestleMania 23. And maybe not surprisingly, we have The Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar from WrestleMania 30. So that is the best. Quinn, why don't you start with one of the worst?
And I'm going to start with the Undertaker handicap match.
Oh, no, from 19?
Yes. WrestleMania 19 is like the WrestleMania 9 of its era to me, like in all honesty.
It is. It's so unmemorable and unnecessary.
I know everyone, the Jericho Shawn Michaels match, but I mean...
And the Brock angle thing.
It's like, isn't that like
where Brock breaks his neck?
Rey Mysterio does something with like his hat or something.
What?
You remember the feathers or no, he was like Green Lantern. I don't remember. Rey Mysterio something at WrestleMania.
Who cares about Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania?
Well, anyway, it was the Undertaker versus A-Train and Big Show.
Oh,
like,
God.
Why?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a handicap matchup. The Undertaker's partner, Nathan Jones, was taken out by a sneak attack and ambush.
I don't even remember the origins. I just remember it existed and it sucked.
It was really bad, but Quinn, if we're talking Death Valley, Undertaker Giant Gonzalez.
Oh, well, of course. Okay, that match, like, is easily the worst.
Okay.
Without question.
Because it's a horrible wrestling match. It's awful.
And the chloroform. Don't forget the chloroform.
There's a chloroform rag.
Yeah.
It's at WrestleMania 9, which I think is great, but, you know, let the haters hate.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Whatever.
And it's Giant Gonzalez, who might be, if we did a Death Valley of wrestlers,
just wrestlers.
Yeah, he might be the worst.
Right. He might
be one of the worst professional wrestlers I've ever seen. Because he was all like, and he didn't do anything. He was just like, ugh.
And he didn't like when he was El Gigante or whatever.
El Gigante? Yeah. No. El Gigante. And he also sold like he had a bug in his eye. Like, anytime he got punched, he's just like, got a bug in my eye.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the worst. I think A-Train Big Show should still be a factor.
I'm keeping it around, yeah.
Yeah, don't throw that in the garbage can. We want to throw all these matches in the garbage can.
Actually,
they suck.
In the desert of Death Valley,
yeah.
With The Undertaker.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You got that.
Thank you. So I think if we're talking about the poop standard as far as Undertaker matches,
yeah,
Gonzalez, it has to be. Because that match is terrible.
Yeah.
there's nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing redeemable other than the Undertaker comes on a chariot or something.
With a crow.
You know what I hated about that chariot, by the way?
Here we go.
This is a minor thing.
It's okay. That's what we do.
But you know how it has like the WWF paper things on it that, you know what I'm talking about?
Not really, but please keep talking about it.
You know how like you put up like a happy birthday hanging sign thing?
Yes.
There's those like paper things on the chariot that say WWF and it looks like Roman like olive branches or something. And it's so out of character.
And that's what bothers you?
Yeah, because it's also like decorated with like deadly things too.
Deadly things? Like what? Nitrogen?
No, just like it's supposed to look dark. I remember it had like tassels on it. I don't know.
Yeah, tassels are very intimidating.
No, but they were black.
Ooh.
Yeah, whatever.
And a crow.
And a crow.
It might bite you.
That whole... It could be cool, but it's stupid.
It's so stupid. And the chloroform rag.
He should have come with the, like, you know how, like, Death has that thresher? What is that? A wheat thrasher?
Thresher. No, thresher is a headbanger.
Okay, well, I was right. Thresher?
Thresher, yes.
Thresher.
Thresher.
Yeah.
The Grim Reaper.
He should have come with that. Because isn't that, like, attributed with, like, olden Roman times and, like, Death, like the Undertaker?
I don't think Death originated in the Roman times.
It didn't. It originated since the beginning of time. However, right. Older art has that. I don't know. It just...
This match sucks.
It's bad.
That's how great it is that we're talking about, like, threshers and crows. Are we putting it on because it's terrible?
Also, it's also a disqualification victory for the Undertaker. Like, really?
I know.
Really?
I know. I'm glad they didn't put Giant Gonzalez over at this match because that would have been the end of the streak. Are we putting this on, Quinn?
Yes, we're putting it on.
There's no possible justification for this, right?
No, it should have never existed.
It was awful. There's nothing to like about it. There's nothing good about it. It is going into the desert to die, die, die.
Die, die, die.
So for number one, Undertaker, Giant Gonzalez, WrestleMania 9. Quinn, you were mentioning the handicap match.
Yeah.
Hard to disagree with that as being a bad one.
But I got another one for you.
Perfect.
What about that Big Boss Man one where he like hung him or something in a cell?
Yep. That has to go on there, I think, because, all right, folks, when you think Hell in a Cell, you get your mind ready for at least an entertaining bit of action, maybe some blood in the older days, some violence, right? It's two guys beating the crap out of each other, and you think Undertaker, definitely, right? You think maybe Shawn Michaels or Mankind, maybe even Triple H.
Someone gets thrown off the top or something crazy.
Right. You don't think Big Boss Man, and not only the evil version.
Yeah,
right?
I like that version.
This is before he was the entertaining evil version.
Yeah.
This is before he stole the Big Show's dad's coffin. This is before.
Is it before that?
Yeah.
Wow.
This is before he made Al Snow eat his dog.
Right. And you know what's sad about this match?
What?
A lot of times I will watch this WrestleMania and I will actually confuse that the Big Boss Man's going to fight Al Snow in the dog kennel thing, and the dogs are going to pee on the floor and all that. Like,
and you'd rather have that.
But the point remains, why am I associating that with that in my brain?
Like, well, it is a big pee stain, this match, yes.
Because they both suck.
They're terrible. Here's the thing. Not only is it the Big Boss Man
right.
in 1999 in a Hell in the Cell match, which is just so weird.
Yeah.
It's the Undertaker at maybe one of his lowest points.
Mm-hmm.
He was really crappy in 99.
Yeah, it was. They were trying to figure things out or something. I don't know what was going on.
Very diplomatic of you. Not only that, it was heel versus heel.
Right.
Not only that, Boss Man gets hanged.
Can the Boss Man being hung from the cell? Boss Man being hung from the cell!
Was that necessary?
No!
Like, I know he's like the Dark Prince or whatever the hell he is, but does he need to be hanging people. Is that where we're at in 1999?
Yeah, we're going back to the 17th century here. You know, we're going to have a hanging.
Well, we already went back pretty far with the Roman times, and that sucked.
So maybe there's a theme here, yeah, time travel.
Yeah, anytime he like does something like old school, no yeah, pun intended,
no pun intended.
It sucks.
I think that's one of the worst Hell in the Cell matches ever.
Yeah.
The Boss Man does one of the wussiest blade jobs ever. It's just like, eh, like he yeah. cut himself shaving.
You know, though.
Yes.
It's bad that I have to like stop you there, because what about his match with King Kong Bundy?
Ew.
Yeah.
Oh God. First of all, Bundy has the eyebrows.
Right.
Which yeah, no,
just, no
don't,
just no.
Don't have those. Second of all, it's at WrestleMania 11.
Yeah, one of the worst. And doesn't it involve Kama stealing the urn and like melting it or whatever?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And like some Major League Baseball ump is the referee.
I totally forgot about
Larry
that.
Larry Young.
Who cares? That's a who cares. Put it in.
Who cares?
Vince is like, oh, this is a Major League Baseball referee. They're on strike, but he's going to referee this. And
meanwhile,
you know what?
Nobody knows like who, what. You would just think he's a regular referee. I think I've seen pictures of this match and just thought, oh, that was just some ref. he looks like a ref.
He looks like a ref.
What's the point of getting a ref to ref? Why would you do that?
An ump to ref, actually, to
same,
be more specific.
But it's the same thing, right?
I know. Yes, it is, Quinn. You're absolutely right. But I don't know. I think that match is bad. I think the Boss Man one is also very bad.
You know, I'm surprised for the Boss Man one, since it was a couple years later, they didn't get the guy who, like, the ref who, like, fixed basketball or whatever to ref. You remember that?
Yeah, I do. That wouldn't be beneath them at that time either. Yeah. Maybe Vince Russo couldn't get him.
Yeah, or... Rob James. What was that? Let's get on. Like that guy.
Rob James. Mills Lane?
Yeah.
Bullshit. The headbutt was unintentional butt. The headbutt was an unintentional butt. And I called his butt.
Rob James.
Whatever his name was.
So which one are we putting in first? Because I think they're both going to wind up in there, Quinn. Undertaker Boss Man is suck on a huge magnitude because it's at a very prominent WrestleMania.
Hold on a moment. Hold the phone. There's like so many to choose from.
I'm holding.
What about the one where he fought Bray Wyatt in a nobody thinks Bray Wyatt's gonna win match? Like,
that was the stipulation, right?
Yeah.
This is a nobody thinks Bray Wyatt's gonna win match.
Yeah. Why did they do that?
See, that could have been the second passing of the creepy torch.
No, but that doesn't make any sense at that vantage point, if you will.
Really? Because Bray Wyatt, for about a year and a half at that point, all he would do is be like,
and on the Dark Dependent, we're here.
And then he would lose.
And then he would abduct someone, but nothing would ever happen. Yeah. Like, he'd throw him in the, he's in the parking lot. Oh, yeah. No. Like, yeah.
And then he'd be a terrible wrestler.
Yeah.
He was awful.
He was pretty bad.
He still is, but I mean.
He got better.
A little better. Yeah, I don't know. I think Undertaker had no reason to fight the Big Boss Man in the Hell in the Cell match and there'd be a hanging.
Yeah.
Do you hear the sentence I just said?
Yeah.
And it was in 99 when, like, everything was hot and everything was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything was good.
Okay, we'll put that in first.
Undertaker, Big Bus Man for number two, okay?
Die, die, die.
All right, so we got Gonzalez, we got Boss Man, we've got Bundy hanging around there.
A-Train and Big Show.
What the hell with that?
Yeah. Seriously, what the hell?
Why did they do that?
I don't know. I'm, like, so confused when I watch that match. I think that was around the time also I stopped watching. So
I don't blame
you. That goes to show you. And I only stopped watching for like a year or two during that point.
But that was a good reason because 03,
yeah,
not fun.
That match is just associated with a shit time period. It's a shit match and it should have never happened. You should never have The Undertaker having handicap matches where everyone knows he's going to win at WrestleMania. Like what? And to be honest with you,
yeah,
it makes Big Show look stupid, which they always do somehow. They somehow find a way. They never can help themselves. Ugh, Big Show. I can't. Like, get it out of here, Joe. Die, die, die. Now I'm thinking of Big Show in a baby diaper. I shouldn't even be thinking about that. It has nothing to do with this. But
yeah, you know what? There's no justification for The Undertaker being in a handicap match against Big Show and A-Train.
Yeah.
I don't care. There was no reason for it. It didn't matter. It was stupid. It was pointless. It was dumb. I don't like it.
Die, die, die.
That's three. We are breezing through this. So now it's really going to come down to what is the worst out of Bundy?
Mm-hmm.
We got the Bundy.
Yeah.
Now that is a piece of shit.
That is a piece of shit.
There's no
an ump
way around that, and there's an ump. We also have the Bray Wyatt thing. I'm glad you brought that up. That's fair.
I would even, okay, this is gonna seem controversial.
Yeah.
What about the final match? His like retirement
as Roman.
As a match, it is terrible.
It was really bad.
Do you think just because it's his last match, it's like you get what you pay for kind of thing?
I'll tell you what. And we don't talk about current too much.
Well, we did talk about this because it was on the WrestleMania Recovery episode, if you recall.
We did. And I believe my sentiments were that Undertaker should have been done a long time ago.
Right.
And he should have been.
He should have been done at that Triple H, leave the memories alone, and they all walk away.
That would have been
away,
fine. Yeah,
all happily.
Holding hands.
Yeah.
But Roman upheld his end of the bargain in that match. I don't care what people say. He was fine.
He was okay. I'm not saying he was bad. It was just whatever.
Yeah.
He couldn't carry The Undertaker, and that's kind of the...
Not many can, though,
his opponents, other than Bray Wyatt, like, Brock made it work, even though... Because he was doing a specific thing, right?
Yeah.
And everybody else made it work before that. Punk made it work. Triple H made it work.
Shawn Michaels
made it work. Even, like, I'm looking, like, Edge made it work.
The Edge match was pretty good, too.
Batista,
I'm surprised we didn't think of that.
Batista made it work.
I think Undertaker carried that one, by the way.
And then before that, and it's kind of a good segue, Mark Henry.
Yeah, what? That's so unmemorable.
That was a casket match, and I barely remember that, and I don't know if not being memorable is a reason to put it into Death Valley when you have the likes of King Kong Bundy lurking around, so I'm going to just ignore that. But let's just close on the last match here, just to close that topic up, because I don't think it should go in.
No way.
You agree? Okay.
It shouldn't go in.
Yeah.
It was fine. It wasn't good.
It wasn't good, but it was fine at the end. I think they did the way they did it was for the Undertaker character, for him to sink into the ground.
Yeah,
he's undead.
And he actually lost.
Yeah. He lost.
Good. He should have lost that.
That's fine. Okay. So
Bundy,
back to Bundy.
I think it has to be Bundy.
It has to be Bundy.
And who ever wanted to see that match?
No one.
You got to put everything in context, right?
Right.
It was in a bad year. It was at a very bad WrestleMania.
Yeah.
This match did not need to happen.
No, it didn't.
And there was an ump as the ref.
Yes. And don't forget comma.
Don't forget comma coming in at the end. So, Quinn, I would say that is probably a clear number four. I think we've pretty much narrowed it down.
Yeah, I would say so.
All right. You know what? Let's mercifully put this Death Valley to bed here.
Put it to an end.
Can we please, actually?
Enough.
All right. So for number four, Undertaker King Kong Bundy from WrestleMania 11. Ugh.
Die.
All right, well, that is our Mount Rushmore and Death Valley of Undertaker WrestleMania matches. We want to thank AJ Smith for the suggestion.
Yeah, thanks, AJ.
Yep. Well, Quinn, I guess there's nothing left to say other than when we come back, we are reviewing one of the worst things I've ever seen. Back after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Get into all the sounds and action of the WCW with the Electronic Nitro Wrestling Arena. You activate the sound. Hear the call of the Wolfpack as Kevin Nash struts up the runway. Launch Macho Man from the top turnbuckle. Hit the ropes and hear the action as you fire Goldberg across the ring.
It sounds just like I'm at a match.
Lower in Sting from the rafters. Hear the count as you pin your opponent. This is no ordinary ring. It's the best WCW wrestling ring ever.
Who's next?
The new WCW Electronic Nitro Wrestling Arena. Figures sold separately. Batteries not included.
Hey, it's Sean Mooney. I may no longer be in the event center, but if I was, I'd be talking about our Vantage Point Retro Wrestling Podcast. All right, boys, let's get to it.
And welcome back, wrestling fans, to our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. Thank you for being with us for episode number 49 on September 18th, 2017. Quinn, we are reviewing something.
I just want to get this review over
with. Yeah, me too.
That was the worst thing we've ever watched.
It is. And we need to thank our very good friend, the Midnight Rider, for suggesting this on the box there.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, in quotations.
Yeah.
What we're reviewing, Quinn, and folks at home there, is Tuesday Night Titans, or by this point in 1986, TNT.
I'm Dynamite.
And you want to tell that story, why it's called that?
Yeah, so in 1984, in mid-1984, the WWF decided, Vince McMahon actually, decided, you know what, I want to be Johnny Carson.
Yeah, I don't think anybody on Earth thought that this was a good idea, but they don't own the company, so they really have no say.
Right. So somehow Vince McMahon uses a two-hour time slot on the USA Network on Tuesday nights to do a show where he's basically trying to be like a late night show host.
Yeah, it's like an Emperor's New Clothes situation. He's completely naked, and he's like, it's good, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and nobody can say no.
So from the mid-84 until January of 85, we had a two-hour show on USA called Tuesday Night Titans, and Vince McMahon hosted it, and Lord Alfred was like his Ed McMahon, basically.
Horrible choice for an Ed McMahon. Just saying.
Yeah, I know. It kind of makes sense stylistically.
You know, it's funny.
What?
The guy who's the host of this episode would have probably made a better Ed McMahon.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
So in January of 1985, Vince McMahon has a new show, and it's called Primetime Wrestling. So that show actually takes Tuesday Night Titans time slot on the USA Network.
Good, because it was a lot better than this shit.
But somehow Vince gets a Friday night 1 hour time slot to continue Tuesday Night Titans. However, he's got to call it something else.
Who would give anybody a time slot to essentially continue this vanity project? Like, this
what
is all it is just like Vince wants to be something else. Like, yeah. His whole career. He doesn't even want to be wrestling.
Never.
He never wants to be wrestling.
He's entertainment, remember? Yeah. And he's not good at the entertainment part of it.
And he can do, in his head, any type of entertainment, whether it be football, right. Bodybuilding,
or a talk show.
Late night talk show host.
So from January of 85 until September of 1986, we have the Friday night 1 hour TNT.
I'm dynamite!
It's the same thing. It's just 1 hour. Thankfully, it's half the length.
I just love that they call it TNT because they can't call it Tuesday Night right. Titans. But like, then what if you're showing this to like a new person and you're like, this is TNT? They're like, oh, what does that mean?
I'm dynamite.
Yeah, dynamite. Like, I don't know.
In 1986, not only was this show still going, but this is the hallmark of Vince giving up on something.
Yep.
Vince stops hosting it.
Right. So usually when Vince stops hosting something, you know what I'm always thinking his brain says? I can lay on the, like, if it fails, yep. It's not my fault anymore,
yep.
And I didn't fail.
In the same way that when they did the variety show thing of Primetime,
yeah.
Vince only hosted that for a few months and he turned it over to Sean Mooney.
Right, because it sucked.
It sucked, and he knew it sucked.
Yeah, so let Sean Mooney take the fall.
Exactly.
This is like a Vince trademark.
So Gene Okerlund is hosting it by this point, and what we're reviewing, unfortunately, thank you, Midnight Rider, really, yeah. Good one, is Tuesday Night Titans, or TNT, June 25th, 1986. So we're right now about halfway between WrestleMania 2 and the big event, which was in August. However, none of that matters because this is not a wrestling show.
No, none of it matters.
Like, it didn't matter what's going on in the squared circle because we've got comedy.
Because why would a show about World Wrestling Federation have to do anything with wrestling?
That's such a good question, Quinn. Yeah. You know, I don't know. So we get the goofy intro with overdub music. It's on the network.
It sucks, and they're so proud of it.
Of the intro, right?
Yeah,
it's like the stars in the background.
Yeah, they really think they've like hit it with like, this is exactly like Johnny Carson. Remember when there was like wrestling on Johnny with like Don Morocco all over the place?
And the thing is, since this is the network version, you can't even hear Lord Alfred's introduction like
it's
over
awful.
The dub music.
And
it's really
you know
bad.
What? Honestly, I'm not. That doesn't hurt it because it's already bad.
It's already bad. Speaking of bad, we open with Mean Gene and his big red valet coat.
Oh,
yikes.
Does this pick up on the monitor at all?
Blooms a little.
Oh, my word.
Terrible.
And this is also, Quinn, the puffy desk era of
yeah,
this show.
Yeah, it's like this type of desk that looks like a recliner chair.
Yeah, but
basically.
Like the front of it does. It's really
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, just the back of a recliner chair. You know, with the buttons.
Yeah, the leather buttons.
Leather buttons, yeah.
So Gene talks about Morocco and Fuji's bad acting careers, you know?
And I'm like, this is a horrible idea for a show. Like, already. We're
right
like
out of the gate.
Minute in.
So we get a clip of Fuji Vice, which in its full context is funny because it's stupid.
Yeah.
However, they kept the joke going way too long.
Right.
Which we'll get to.
Yeah.
But the best part of the Fuji Vice clip is that Fuji is just looking at the camera half
yeah,
the time and
exactly.
smiling.
And that horrible actress, too.
Yeah.
Like, show me your credentials.
That? She's like, we need some credentials here. And then Morocco's like, here's my credentials. And he opens up a briefcase of money. She's like this sultry guard lady. I don't know what it is.
She has like a one-piece 80s bathing suit on.
Yeah.
Impressive credentials. I'm sure the Seahawk will be glad to see you. Wait here.
We're about to become rich heroes, partner.
I don't know.
Is she a hooker? I don't know what it is.
I don't get it.
I have no idea what's going on because it's all out of context. When we come back from the clip, the crowd boos.
Yeah.
Lord Alfred laughs. And Quinn, you said this is like an early version, this whole Fuji Vice and Morocco and their bad acting, of them thinking they're in on the joke.
Right. So, you know how we mentioned, I don't know if it was an episode ago, I don't know when it was, but the whole thing where like Vince thinks that because he's in on the joke, it's like the gobbledygooker, right?
Mm-hmm.
He thought that was good when they did it.
Yeah.
But when it wasn't, all of a sudden he just acts like, ho-ho, yeah. See how stupid we were? Oh, that was all on purpose, obviously.
Yeah, right, right.
And then, like, it's the same thing with this. Like, you cannot tell me that they didn't think that Fuji Vice was, like, good on its own merits.
Yeah, not ironically.
Not ironically. I'm pretty sure that they realized it sucked, and then they were like, oh, look how funny it is because it's so bad.
I think you're right. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but the theory sounds accurate, knowing the way Vince works.
It goes by everything else. A lot of TNT is just like, it's looking at like Vince's mind.
I know, and it's scary.
It's scary.
It is very, very scary. Yeah. Morocco says everyone all over the world is chanting, Fuji Vice, Fuji Vice.
That's not true
at all. It's not true at all. And then Gene says Morocco sucks at English.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree. Fuji's like, that'll go the whole time. And then we get a clip, and this is a great clip, of Don Morocco versus Danny Spivey in a very squeaky ring from the Boston Garden.
It's like, you should put a clip of that, just the ring in there.
So then we basically see Dan Spivey kicking Morocco's ass the whole clip.
And also, I just want to say this becomes like a trend on this show.
It does.
But anyway, yes, Spivey just destroying him, Mark Eaton as the ref. Again, how do we get Mark Eaton 2 weeks in a row on this show reffing things?
I love when he's the ref. Gorilla and Lord are on commentary. And you said to me, Quinn, Morocco is so fat and shitty here.
Okay, so this is something I don't understand about Don Morocco.
What?
Like, his upper body, like from the pecs to like his arms and stuff,
mm-hmm.
It's like he looks like muscular, right?
Right.
But below the pecs, he's got like a big pot belly. I don't understand like physically how that makes sense.
Steroid belly, man. Steroid belly.
What do you mean steroid belly?
It's
it just
real.
Looks like it just looks like he's got like a food baby on the bottom that he's got to hold, and like I guess the proteins go to like his arms and pecs or something. I don't know. Like it doesn't make any sense.
I think it's like the idea being you take all the steroids, right, and they do bloat you, but like you're only working out your like arms and shit because you don't care about anything else, so your whole stomach just goes to shit basically. Like Dino Bravo, same thing.
Yeah, kind of. But Don Morocco is like an extreme example. Like he is so fat, I guess. Sort of. And
he's kind
of
fat.
And he's strong, so it's a weird combination of things.
It is very weird. It's a very weird paradox. So anyway, Morocco throws Spivey through the barricade, and then he does it through another one, which was kind of a cool bump, actually.
Yeah, that was okay.
And then we come back from that clip, and the crowd boos. And here's a great, great blooper here.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
Spivey was dressed in yellow tights, yellow knee pads, yellow boots.
Right, and mind you, now they've flashed away from the match.
Yeah, so we're back to the studio. Mean Gene says how great it was that Don Morocco could suplex the heavyweight champion of the world.
You certainly showed your wares very well there, Don Morocco, in suplexing the heavyweight champion of the world. Well done.
So, like, Morocco awkwardly has to correct him. He's like, that was Dan Spivey.
Very
well. That was Dan Spivey, wasn't heavyweight champion.
Dan Spivey, I beg your pardon, yes.
So Gene, clearly not, like, I don't know how they produced this show, but I guarantee you that entire clip was not played, like, for Mean Gene. He probably saw the tail end of it for
the
pickup.
Yeah, I just say, this show sucks. Like,
it does.
This is bad. Like, it's bad.
It's really bad.
That should have never made error. They should have just, like, cut, okay, do it again, and then
I know,
move on.
Because it was right back from the break. They could have just redone that.
Look, I can do it right now. You can edit this on the air. It's like, oh man, good job on the heavyweight champion of the world, Morocco.
Action.
Okay, good job on Dan Spivey, Morocco.
So, you also took issue with the backdrop, like the cityscape backdrop.
Yeah.
Because you can kind of see the wall, like.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, you would think they've been doing this show for a bit now, right? 2 years, something like that?
Yep.
You would think they would at least make the backdrop thing go to the ceiling, or at least, like, where the camera couldn't see
right.
it. Instead, they take this awkward shot where you can see, like, the wood paneling on the side of the wall. What a piece of shit. This show sucks.
It does suck. And then, of course, Morocco has to get all defensive about how Gene doesn't like his acting. And then he's like, oh, Lord Alfred, why don't you quote some Shakespeare? So Lord Alfred quotes Julius Caesar, but incorrectly. He doesn't say the line right.
I'm glad you know that, because I don't. All I know is, oh, he's English, so I guess he knows that. Seriously, because Lord Alfred just thinks he's all smart.
I know. I gotta say, though, Quinn, not that McMahon was great at hosting this show, but he is much better than Mean Gene, and that is saying something.
It's not saying a lot. This show sucks. What are you talking about? Vince McMahon, I've seen some of the Vince McMahon
it's
ones.
It's better.
It's better, but not by much.
Not by much. You're right.
Get out of here. Like, don't act like Mean Gene's, like, ruining it.
Sorry.
It's not any better than it was before. It's slightly worse.
I guess you're right. And since we haven't had enough of Morocco and Fuji on the show, Gene challenges them to do comedy after the break.
Ugh.
So they come back, and we're going to do a comedy skit now. So basically, they come back out through the curtain. Don Morocco makes a ton of awful jokes while blatantly reading off a cue card.
Yeah.
And then Fuji, who is the straight man, setup man, he just kind of grins a lot. The crowd kind of boos sometimes. Gene and Alfred, they keep, like, showing them laughing or fake laughing.
Yeah, and then there's this weird, like, a stick comes out of the curtain and knocks Fuji's hat off.
Yeah, why did anyone watch the show?
I don't know.
Like, why? Okay, you're home, though, on a Friday night, right?
Yeah.
It's 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, whenever this is on.
Mm-hmm.
Why the f*** would you turn this on?
I don't,
what redeeming quality is it? It's not
Joe,
even
I can't,
funny.
I can't answer that question, and that's the problem with this show.
It's not even funny at all.
No. It never was funny, ever. Hulk Hogan powder drink or whatever, is that like the best thing that ever happened on the show? I don't know. It's terrible. All of it's bad. They should have just canceled this after the first episode. It's awful.
So the one of like three maybe legitimately briefly funny moments here, Fuji saying, instead of how about some topical stuff, Fuji says, how about some tropical stuff?
How about some tropical stuff? Tropical. I don't care.
Yeah.
And that's the funniest part.
I mean,
of this
it did make us chuckle a little bit, so I'll say that. But, it, you know, when
the
we're
standards haven't been set very
the
high.
The problem is we're reviewing this for you on the air, right?
Yes.
So, like, now we're, like, all mad. It's hard to take any of these jokes.
Yeah.
Like, they're good at this point.
Try sitting through the first 12 minutes of this.
That's the other thing. This is 12 minutes in.
It's so
How
long.
How the hell? I felt like I've been watching it for an hour already.
Yeah, I know. So then a giant pipe pulls Fuji off stage. And then he comes back in anyway.
Great. Yeah. No, Fuji's like, what is this? And then he just like comes back. I'm serious.
Yeah, he no-sells it, yeah, basically.
He's like, wait, I don't get the joke.
He gets pulled up and he's like, no. Mercifully, it's all over.
Thank
Great.
God, that was the worst segment
awful
ever. And there's more to come. There's like three more segments.
And none of them are good.
Yeah.
Including the next one, Hercules.
Did they really? And it's not even like, it's not Power and Glory Hercules.
It's
not like
Roman God Hercules.
Roman, it's just the like maybe from south of the border Hercules.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what his gimmick is here at this point. Like, so, seriously.
So we come back from break. Alfred says that comedy was pitiful. And you said to me, Quinn, that you don't think Lord Alfred should be assessing comedy.
No, never. Because he's not funny.
He's not funny.
He's like ironically funny.
Yeah, but he doesn't make jokes like ever.
And first of all, he's not funny with, like, Gene. He's funny with, like, Sean Mooney.
Yes.
Or something like that.
Sometimes Gorilla. Sometimes Bobby, like,
yeah,
their interaction. But not with Gene.
No,
they
never.
Have no chemistry, these
yeah,
two.
Not at all.
So then Gene brings out Hercules Hernandez with an old-ass Freddie Blassie cane and everything.
Hercules is very Hernandez-y right now.
He is, with the big fro. And he's got this, like, yellow tank top and shitty pants on.
You know, couldn't they like pick better clothes? You would think, right? Like, it's like, oh, this is like a Johnny Carson type thing. Right. So they would be in like suits or something. Instead, he's like, everyone's dressed like shit on this show.
He looks like he just came from the gym.
Yeah.
He really does.
I thought this was taped in Titan because of the way he looked, to be honest with you.
No, this is still taped in their Maryland facility. They used to, Video One, I think it was called.
Yeah, facility.
Yeah, facility. It was a video facility. They did primetime there also, the earlier primetimes. So Gene, of course, asked Blassie about some affair between him and Moolah, because haha, old people, Moolah.
Freddie, anything to the continuing rumors of a possible affair between the fabulous Moolah and yourself?
This keeps going on, by the way. And if you were wondering why they were making like Bob Uecker jokes like at 3, like this is like the root of it.
Yeah.
This is it. It's like, oh, if you're over like 50, you might like Moolah.
Yeah, that's basically what it is, right?
And how mean is that to Moolah? Like, she's got feelings. Like, what the hell?
Way to really hit your target demo there, guys, because kids really love those kinds of jokes, too, right?
Exactly. That's the thing, is that kids would only watch this because they would think, hey, it's more wrestling.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan will be on it.
This is not for kids.
No, and it's not even for adults. It's for senile fucking people.
It's for Vince McMahon's brain.
Yes, exactly.
It's so he can show Linda and the kids, hey, look, I'm like Johnny Carson. Like, can you imagine, like, little Stephanie having to watch this and being like, oh, yeah, it's good, Dad.
It's good,
like,
Dad. Can I go now?
Yeah, can I go play with my friends? Like, fuck this.
Shane's like, hey, can I go get high or whatever with my friends?
Can I go hang out with my friends?
With Pete Gas?
Yeah. No, his friends. Remember from Sunday Night Heat?
Yes, his friends. That's right. Yeah. Shane McMahon and friends.
Yeah, he wants to go hang out with his friends.
So he says Hercules is the strongest man in the world. Well, Dino Bravo wasn't there yet, so I guess that's true.
Guess so.
And then we get a great clip. It's Hercules versus Scotty McGee from the same Boston
Guess
Garden.
Guess who the ref is?
Who is it, Quinn?
Mark Yeaton.
Again?
Two Margin. Why do they always pick the worst clips? Like, they're all he's getting beat up. Why? Why would you show that? I know, like, the match is almost over and he wins, but the majority of the clip, the wrestler who you're featuring
is getting his ass whipped.
That's not featuring them.
No, it's not.
That is not the point of this.
A horrible flying knee gets two from McGee. Hercules with a huge, like, backbreaker for the win.
Backbreaker victory.
Backbreaker victory.
What is this, 60s?
Yeah, but didn't he pin him with a body slam?
Yeah.
Back to the studio, the crowd boos Hercules. So Gene here is like, oh, give me a break. I want to give you a test of strength, Hercules. So from behind his desk,
he gives him curtain rods.
He pulls out a 3/4-inch, he says, bar of steel tubing. So Hercules bends it around his neck, the crowd boos. Gene gets a 1-inch tube instead. Hercules bends it around his neck, the crowd boos. Then Gene gets one of those, like, stretchy workout things.
What was the point of that? And like even Hercules is like, what?
He's like, I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah.
What the heck are we, what are you supposed to do with this? Supposed to do stuff like this? What do you do, huh?
And then so he just picks it up and puts it on Gene. Then he picks up Gene.
And when they, like, go to commercial.
And they go to commercial.
Yeah, or something.
That was a thrilling segment. What, like, what was funny about, why did they do this?
Why is this show worth your time?
Exactly.
Tell me. Please tell me. There should be, like, an explanation in the middle of the show. This is why you should watch this. Because they're not showing me any reason to watch it. Like, I would be hitting the remote, or if it's the 80s, I'd go up to the TV and hit the button on the TV. Whatever, I just have to get off this. I'd rather watch QVC. This is horrible.
When we come back, Gene brings out Arnold Skoland as
come on! He doesn't even work here anymore. I know he has lifetime employment.
He doesn't do anything,
but
though.
But just give him a check and just be done with him. Don't, no!
And he's got a purple floral shirt on. Which Quinn says is his retirement shirt.
Great.
So Skoland is like, oh, Lord Alfred's old, ha ha ha. And then Gene, of course, because we can't get enough jokes like this, he asks Arnold Skoland about the fabulous Moolah.
Did you not, some years ago, go on tour with a fabulous Moolah down to Bermuda?
He just did this in the print. Like, do they not?
It's not funny.
First of all, you're not supposed to, like, tell, like, the same joke, like,
I know.
2 minutes after the last time. It sounds stupid.
Is there any truth to you and Moolah? Ha ha ha. Like, who's laughing at that?
Nobody. Nobody's laughing at anything on this.
This whole banter, and I'm using that word extremely loosely, it's uninspired. It's not fun. There's no witty, like, rapport going on. It's nothing. It's like Gene being like, ha ha ha, and then the guest being like, hoo hoo hoo.
Now,
and
they're Alfred. Like, they're all telling, like, stories, like, in most of these segments, but you can tell that they're kind of like, we can't really say what happened because it's we can't curse.
Yeah,
it's dirty. The stories that on the road are dirty. Like if this was a show, I'm assuming that part of the inspiration of this is Vince said, "Oh, the boys have funny stories when they're on the road, right?"
Right. Right.
But you cannot do that on television in 1985 or six or
no,
whatever.
You can't say that. Not really. Even on cable, and Vince couldn't risk like USA.
Yeah.
Dumping the time.
You can't talk about hookers and throwing rocks through McDonald's and all sorts of shit. Like you can't talk about that. Like.
Or eating like dogs or whatever Fuji made people do. Yeah, I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
He did some weird shit. But here's the other thing I have to mention, Quinn. Arnie looks like he belongs at one of those Dean Martin celebrity roasts from
the
70s.
Yes, he does.
It looks like the board of directors of a massage parlor.
He also looks like he belongs in like the dinner special, like before, you know, like, what is that? The 3 o'clock dinner, old people.
The early bird.
Early bird. That's it.
Yeah, it does though. Like he's going to go get like a
shitty shoes on. Don't they go over his outfit?
Yeah. Here's the thing. Okay. So first of all, speaking of outfits, Quinn, you asked me, why did Gene have to wear this red coat? Like,
it's really unnecessary.
He should be parking cars.
Yeah. He looks like a valet.
At the early bird. And yeah. Then we get a close up. This is on television. Okay. This is on television.
This shows you that they had nothing for Arnie. Like, they were just like, we need to kill, like, 3 minutes or something.
We get a close-up of his shoes, his socks, his khakis, and then that previously mentioned purple floral retirement shirt.
And Gene's, like, explaining it or something.
Yeah.
And some joke about the socks.
Yeah, how they're, like, crappy or I don't know.
It's like Gene gave them to him. I almost think there was, like, some weird sexual joke that was supposed to be there, but it's bad and confusing and only for, like, six-year-old men.
Yes. Like this show.
Yeah.
So that's it of that segment. That was a giant waste of time. We come back and Gene brings out Jimmy Hart. And Quinn, you want to explain Jimmy Hart's attire here?
So he's got the typical Jimmy Hart leopard print, like
jacket,
right? And it's red and black leopard print, right?
Yeah.
Now, the rest of his outfit, it's basically like a Richard Simmons like workout thing underneath, but it's matching the same as the coat.
It's
red and black leopard print.
It's like spandex suit, basically.
Yeah, and it's all tight, and he's like, you know how Jimmy Hart's like really skinny,
very skinny.
Looks stupid, and I think he's wearing like Reeboks, like black Reeboks.
And even Lord Alfred's like, you look ridiculous, and Jimmy's like, no, you do.
Yeah, he's saying how this is going to be like, everyone's going to be wearing what he's going to, I don't remember that ever happening.
No one ever did
only
that.
Richard Simmons, obviously.
Pretty much only Richard Simmons. So he says Adrian Adonis, the adorable one, has a new clothes line coming out. So we're getting a fashion show from Adrian Adonis, and he comes out in a very matronly, like, blue old lady dress.
He looks like he's going to church.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
In the 60s. And a white hat, and like a goofy sun umbrella.
They make some reference to, like, he looks like Princess Di.
They do.
Like,
and he doesn't.
No.
This is horrible, though. And he's got sneakers on.
Yep.
And this whole time, though. So, like, he comes out, and he's, like, modeling, like, back and forth like it's a runway.
Yeah.
There's some loud-ass music playing, and it's not dubbed in. It's actually, like, from the thing.
Well, I think part one of them wasn't, and then, like, when they do more of it, there is dub in, because
maybe.
Then it's, like, then you really can't hear them.
Because this whole time, Jimmy Hart is, like, reading the modeling description off, like, a piece of paper.
Adrian, you look beautiful, baby. Like a frozen daiquiri on a summer's eve. The accent appears is just enough to understate this good taste in jewelry.
Something they wrote beforehand.
Yeah, and I'm sure it was very witty, but I couldn't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So damn, we missed out on the great humor there.
Well.
But the thing is that it's like 3 minutes of that.
Yeah,
it's not like he just comes out real quick.
It's so long.
And
there was like 10, 15 minutes left in the show. That's already felt like it was on for 4 hours.
This was brutal.
It's horrible.
Gene says, you've got to be jerking my chain.
Great.
We go to break, and when we come back, more Adrian. So we come back, and Gene says that Adrian's fashions are going to be available at Woolworth.
That's kind of funny.
That is kind of funny. Jimmy introduces Adrian again and his cocktail evening jacket with feathers and boa type stuff.
He looks like Flock of Seagulls. He doesn't look like a lady here.
No, I don't know.
I mean, it's not. It's a very flamboyant ladylike coat. However, in the 80s,
yeah,
I could see this.
Right.
Like, as a normal man might wear this.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, maybe not even a normal man. Like some guy in New York or London.
Maybe in, like, the village in New York
exactly,
or something like that.
Yeah.
Now, this goes on way too long as well, and Quinn, you had a fantastic question for me.
Did people watch this? Who watched this? This is who would be here by this point in the show? In all seriousness, unless you were like, there was like some NBA game on or something, and you, it was over, and you're like, oh, what's on TV? And you're flipping and like a man in ladies' clothing, great, and a flock of seagulls jacket. Like, that's the only people that ever saw this.
I think you're right. Yes. Yeah. People that were like, watching basketball.
Or like, yeah, whatever was on in, when was this? June, July?
June of 86.
June,
yeah.
Maybe basketball.
So Gene gets up from the desk to ask Adrian about this outfit, and Adrian's like, it's self-explained.
That's like all he said so far.
Yes.
And he could be
funny. A good talker.
Yeah, he's a good talker.
He's very funny.
What a waste of Adrian Adonis.
I know.
This whole thing. People are like, have fond remembrances of it. Go watch it. It's horrible.
It's not that,
like,
good. Yeah,
it,
I agree.
It might have been funny for 5 minutes to be like, oh, haha, Adrian Adonis is dressed like a woman. And then it's like, then what? What do you do after that?
I think a lot of the romanticism about Adrian, adorable Adrian, is because of the Piper match.
Right.
But that's not really because Adrian's gimmick was good.
No.
It wasn't that good.
It was just they didn't like the biker thing or something.
Yeah, the YMCA.
I don't get what was so bad about it.
I don't know. Unless it was Adrian's own idea. It could have been.
Maybe.
I really don't know, but it's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
So then we get a clip of Adrian Adonis versus Mario Mancini.
This could have been on in 1982, this match.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Both of these guys were there.
Yeah, they were, and we're from Superstars taping now, or I think it was actually
No, this is also Boston Garden,
no,
too. I thought all these matches from the
Boston Garden. Championship, actually.
Oh, great.
With Vince and Good Condition.
Yeah, Good Condition, but, that's why, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, now I remember.
And we've got an imitation Dave Hebner.
So weird. Okay, this guy looks like Dave Hebner at first, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you take a closer look, and you're like, wait a second, he's a little taller, and he's got like a weird dirt stash underneath. And then you're like, is this Hebner like when he first came in?
I don't think it is, though. He's too tall.
Maybe he's on stilts. I don't know. Maybe he's got risers in his shoes.
Why would he have, what, 6-inch risers?
Because they hired both brothers, right? So they wanted to seem like different people.
No, they hired Dave first. They got Earl Durrell from the NWA.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I know. Anyway.
Okay, anywho.
Good condition, Vince.
Good condition, Vince.
Good night, Irene, I think.
It's
gets
like a
the
Cobra
win.
Clutch
it was
or like
Cobra
a million
clutch.
Dollar dream or something.
Yeah, and I thought Good Night, Irene was a regular
it's
sleeper,
just a
right?
I'm almost positive it's just like a regular sleeper.
So he uses a Cobra Clutch for the win. He prances around the ring for way too long. And
yeah, Jimmy's like draping his like scarf on him.
What? It's such a waste. They are wasting so much time on this show.
Well, this is the big main event of TNT, I guess, is to show off Adrian Adonis and his dresses and terrible matches.
Back to the studio for Gene and Jimmy Hart and some alleged banter. And Jimmy Hart then mocks Lord Alfred for the second legitimate funny moment of the show, where he just makes fun of his laugh. It's funny, briefly.
Gruesome or grotesque?
if you're in the big Hooters.
You're funny.
Mm-hmm. Then we bring out Adrian again in oversized, like comically oversized sunglasses, like the joke sunglasses.
Yep.
And a rainbow like robe and a straw hat. And then he removes the robe after like 4 minutes to reveal a bikini.
Horrible. This is the worst. It's so bad, Joe. Why the hell did we watch this?
Well, it was requested.
It still sucks. It's horrible.
It's really bad. I'm not going to lie.
I never want to watch this show specifically ever again.
Tuesday Night Titans, you mean?
Yes.
I'm fine with that.
TNT or whatever.
I don't care what year of it. I don't care who's on it.
Yeah, no.
I don't need to ever see this show again. It's literally, folks, this segment here, again, like 4 minutes of Jimmy Hart reading something off a paper.
Right.
Adrian prancing around. And then after the 4 minutes, he's wearing a bikini. And that's the big joke, I guess, right?
There's more.
There's more. It's not over. Don't worry. Because Gene calls Adrian sweetheart. And then he's like, oh, I think you lost one of your Hooters there.
Yeah.
Ha ha.
Hooters is what we called in the business. Is he saying Adrian's fat and has boobs?
Yeah.
Great.
Then Lord Alfred says that he would have a pregnant hippopotamus wear that bikini.
That was okay. That was kind of funny.
And here's the funniest part of the show. Adrian mocks Lord Alfred's laugh and then says, what war did you ever win?
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Lord Alfred, would you buy one of these?
I might do if I had a pregnant hippopotamus could wear it.
What war did you ever win?
And then he walks away. We cut away. We come back. And of course, because this is just so funny,
mm-hmm.
Lord Alfred comes out now wearing that rainbow robe, wearing his sunglasses and the hat.
What the hell is this? Why is this show not over? Like, seriously, I don't need any more of this. Enough! Get it out of here! Out of here! No more!
The crowd boos. And Lord Alfred puts the hat on Gene, and they both think it's, like, so funny.
Great.
We wrap up. We go to credits. Executive producer, Vince McMahon.
Why would you put your name on this? Horrible. Kerwin was the director, though. And yeah. Kevin Dunn, I feel bad for... Kerwin. I don't feel bad for Kevin Dunn ever, but for Kerwin, this is beneath him.
Well, that was Tuesday Night Titans from June 25th, 86. Quinn, your thoughts?
The worst thing we've ever touched.
Yep.
Reviewed ever.
Agreed.
Horrible. Never, never, never again will we... Like, I will do any other show, bad or good, again.
Yep.
But this, no.
Never.
I'm never.
Never doing it again. Sorry.
This is the biggest waste of time of a show. I don't know how wrestling thought this was a good idea. Like, a wrestling promoter thought this was a good idea.
I don't know. I mean, Quinn, you and I are very forgiving and very, you know, good when it comes to embracing some of the goofier aspects of 80s WWF. Here's the thing. There is literally no redeeming value on this.
No, it does nothing. It doesn't advance storyline.
No.
Even. Like, you would think a show
right.
where you can talk to the wrestlers, they'd be like, I hate you so-and-so, but there's none of that or any confrontation, nothing. It's just a waste of time. It's just a Vince McMahon vanity project. He thought he was so good.
Yep.
He, you know, now he's got a bunch of money and he thinks, oh, I can do whatever I want. And,
yep.
and this sucks. No one, and he surrounds himself with a bunch of glad-handing yes men, as CM Punk says. And this is the kind of bullshit you get. This.
Damn. Wow. But you're right. I mean, look, Vince has never been funny, really, at this. He's not funny.
He's good at, like, promoting his product, but
yes.
this is not promoting the product.
This is not even his product he's promoting. Like, what is he what is this?
Did he think that he would be able to just float the program until he could get real guests? But then it just sucks so much that nobody wanted, like, he's thinking, oh, I'll get, like, Tina Turner or something yeah, eventually, if I can, like, prove my point.
Phil Collins.
Yeah.
Who else was big in the 80s, yeah. you know what I mean?
Exactly. I think this is just, like, he thought he could hold the down the fort here. He's so talented, right, that he could make it work with anyone,
and
eventually the big names would come, like
oh, yeah.
Tom Selleck or something.
Yeah, exactly. Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah.
It didn't work. This is not funny. I mean, literally, I wasn't expecting much because I know that this show wasn't good.
Right.
This was well below my expectations.
Right.
I expected something that was actually badly entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, we've watched tons of things that are bad, but they're fun.
This was not entertaining.
No.
It was just bad.
It was off-putting.
Yeah.
It was frustrating.
Yeah.
The banter, and I use that term loosely, is hard to follow. They're like, no one knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
If the whole point was to, like, emulate a late-night show, they did a shitty job. They have a half-assed set,
yeah.
and all they did was stick their three TV cameras in there and have Mean Gene ad-lib.
Meanwhile, the studio audience was, like, 16 people.
Yes.
It was horrible.
And obviously, I'm sure they're just WWF employees.
Oh, yeah. No,
who would
pay to see this?
Yeah, exactly.
Who would pay? who would even watch it for free on TV?
So,
this is the early days of cable, right? This is on USA.
Yes.
If you saw this, you'd be like, why am I paying for monthly for television? Because that's like a new thing. If you saw this is the kind of shit we get. Fuck that. No, I'm not watching USA Network anymore. Like, that's like what I would think if this is what I saw. Like, it's 85, right? You might first get cable.
Yeah.
And you would see this is I guess USA Channel's bad. Look at this bullshit. And then you would just, like, switch to ESPN or something.
MTV.
Yeah.
You know, one of the worthwhile channels.
Something else.
You know what's funny, too, Quinn, is they were able to use a show to put people over. To show wrestling more than this.
It wasn't this show.
No, and it was very entertaining banner, and that, of course, would be primetime wrestling.
Right, exactly.
Much better show.
Wonderful show.
That's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you mix in the comedy, but your primary focus is wrestling.
We're going to have to eventually, like, review, like, a full, I know it's 2 hours, but,
Gorilla,
like, at some point.
Okay.
Just to, because I need to, first of all, like, wash this out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Second of all, like, it just needs to be shown, like, this is how you do it. Not
right.
this.
Right, right.
Not this junk.
Even,
get it out of here.
Even variety show primetime from 91 is better than this.
Yes.
It is, and it's not good.
Yeah, it's not good, but I think the true, like, realized form is the Bobby
Girl
and
Bobby
version.
Hell yeah, that is how you do a show that is not a live wrestling event, you know, mm-hmm. it's, and it's not like a Cindy, like Superstars. That's how you do a cable recap show.
Right.
To put over characters, to put over the product, but also to have fun.
I guess Livewire is a good version of that, too.
Yeah,
like, Livewire in the early days.
Was pretty good for a few months.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I agree with you. So that is TNT. Thank you ever so much, Midnight Rider.
You should
really.
Just hit the die. At the end of that,
you know what?
Yeah,
that's going in the Death Valley, just like with everything else that's in Death Valley.
Yeah, just enough
as a television show. So you know what?
Die.
Yeah, it's
getting a special induction.
Yeah, special induction. Worst show we've ever watched.
It is. Like, it actually is. It's worse than Nawa.
Yeah,
it's worse than any of the bad Cindys of WWF we've watched.
Right.
It is awful. But folks, you know what's not awful? Our season finale is coming up next week, and there's going to be some crazy things happening. I don't know what they are, because, you know, obviously Lord Alfred's putting all that together.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bad performance this week on Tuesday Night Titans.
Yeah, but hopefully.
Hopefully next week he has something.
Yeah, he can redeem himself.
Yeah.
So, folks, thank you so much for the past 49 episodes, plus specials, and we will see you, of course, next week for episode number 50. In the meantime, be sure to follow us on Twitter at OVP Podcast. You can email us at OVPPodcast@gmail.com. Of course, go to our Facebook group, go to our website, get that suggestion box, keep sending stuff in, Rushmore's reviews, anything else you want us to talk about, we're happy to hear from you.
Yeah, always. So
always.
Send them in, because we love it.
We absolutely do love it. And folks, we will be back next week. Have a great rest of your day. Have a great rest of your week.
See ya.
See ya.
Here we go, as planned. Lord Alfred, get ready for this. Yucks for bucks, if you will. Live from the TNT studios, it's America's newest comedy team, soon to be seen in Las Vegas. Los Angeles at the Comedy Store, Zeke's Bar and Grill in Jersey City. Would you please welcome for the debut here on TNT of this comedy team, Mr. Fuji and the magnificent Morocco, right here.
Thank you. It's great to hear, be here tonight. I just flew in from Coast. Boy, what a trip around here.
How hot was it?
I'll tell you, it was hotter than Joan Collins on a wedding night. It got so bad that some of the Hollywood stars were getting together to raise money for air conditioning, needing to call in their concert Kool-Aid, which reminds me of the time I raised money to help a musical group and called it Band-Aid. Eat your heart out, Bob Hope. Actually, I just got back from playing Las Vegas.
You play Las Vegas?
I'll tell you, I walked through so many casinos and clubs, I almost developed club foot. I put more money in the slot machines than Liberace spends on suits. And the showgirls, wow, are they ever beautiful.
How beautiful are they?
They're so beautiful. They make Bo Derek look like Rambo.
Will you stop?